Praise the Lord. I didn't know you could hit that last note. Jesus is the cornerstone. Whew. Praise the Lord, everybody. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
All right. Well, I promise not to keep you long, but there is a word from the Lord today. And I've been trying to work on the sermon all week long, and all week long I've been sick. So this sermon will be unfolding for both you and I today. And I know that there is a word from the Lord. I struggled with the title. I didn't know whether to call it cause and effect or Jesus promised or is the problem me? I struggled with those titles, but as we go through God's word today, I want you to think about those three thoughts: cause and effect, Jesus promised, is the problem me? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this preaching moment. And I ask you, Lord, humbly, that you remove all self. Let self be slain. And so that the people of God see only you and hear the words that you have for them today. We thank you and we bless your name. Amen. We read today the story of Joshua. And we read from Joshua chapter 7. I just want to read a couple of verses just to refamiliarize ourselves with the background text today. It says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zibdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the Lord, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even to Shemberam, and smote them in the going down. It says, Wherefore the hearts of the people melted. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content that we dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it. I just want to go down to verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon my face? Says, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and have put it even among their own stuff. Cause and effect, Jesus promised, am I the problem? On the night of February, I think I need another mic, hold on. Test 1, 2. On the night of February 12th, 2012, a 28-year-old Hispanic American neighborhood watch coordinator was in his car, running a few personal errands and keeping watch over a gated community. That evening, he saw a hooded young man enter his gated community. He thought that he looked suspicious, so he called 911 and told the dispatcher of what he saw. And the dispatcher said to him, "Are you following the young man?" And he said, "Yes." And the dispatcher told him, "We don't need you to do that. In other words, stop your pursuit." I'm going to give you two scenarios. Number one, the Hispanic man ended his call and stayed in his car. A few minutes later, the police arrived, stopped the hooded young man, questioned him, searched him, and found a bag of Skittles and a bottle of iced tea. Asked him where he was going, and the young man told him, "Well, I'm from Miami, but I'm visiting with my father and his new fiance, and I'm not sure because it's dark where to go, so I'm trying to read the numbers on the apartments." His story checks out, and they find out that he is living in that community, and they let him go. End of story. Now we know that the story didn't end like that. So scenario number two. The Hispanic man ends his call, and he decides to get out of his car. And he decides to follow the hooded suspect down the street. In a few minutes, there's an altercation between him and the hooded suspect. And in 38 seconds, there are 14 cries for help. And then a gunshot. The bullet from the 9mm semi-automatic gun enters the heart of the hooded young man. And when the police that arrived from the initial call, when they arrive on the scene, they find the hooded young man dead, face down, in the grass. Ever since that day, the nation has been in an uproar. A family has lost their son, their brother, their friend over a bag of Skittles and some iced tea. The neighborhood watchman the protector of the neighborhood, now murderer, pleading not guilty due to self-defense. And because of one man's decision not to stay in his car, the nation debates over issues of race, of hatred, of profiling, of gun laws, of standing your ground laws, and the meanings of self-defense. Cries of justice, but for who? Should it be for this 17-year-old black hooded boy who was suspended from school in Miami because of drugs, and whose parents sent him to Sanford, Florida, to visit with his father and new fiance to keep him out of trouble? This young man who has had issues with crime and drugs, should justice go out for him? Or should it go out for this Hispanic American by the name of Zimmerman, who thought he was protecting the neighborhood and one day saw something that looked suspicious, he felt was suspicious, and he took it upon his own self to check it out and due to his disobedience, it ended up in murder. Should justice go out for him? Well, we know that the jury is out and is deliberating as we speak. But no matter how it turns out, it's going to be something that America will never forget. If Zimmerman wins because of self-defense, do we now rethink the meaning of self-defense? Is it all right to disobey the police and take matters into our own hands? I hope that's Jesus calling. Or should justice go to this young man? And do you have the right to stand your ground if you feel threatened? Because we know that there was no marks on his body except for the gun wound. Do you have the right? These are questions that the nation will have to deal with. And if Zimmerman wins, will Black people, will we riot in the streets? Is there enough evidence to support Zimmerman's argument? I don't know, church. But there was a direct order not to come out of your car. Two scenarios could have happened. And now, one man's decision has impacted a whole nation. When we go to Joshua chapter 7, or chapter 6, we see a story of the defeat of Jericho. It's a battle of sevens. 7 days, they walked around Jericho wall. And on the seventh day, they walked around seven times. And then they blew their trumpets and they yelled and the walls came tumbling down. And God gives them the city. Joshua tells the people that God said, the spoils, the gold and the silver was to be retained for the treasury of the Lord. But there was one man who decided to take matters into his own hands. His name is Achan. And even though he experienced victory in this battle, he decided that he was going to take some stuff that belonged to the Lord and bury it in his own tent. The next chapter, Israel is supposed to go up against the city of Ai. And they decide that 3,000 of them should go up. But instead of experiencing victory, they experience defeat. And when Joshua lays on his face and inquires to the Lord of what happened, the Lord says that someone has committed an accursed thing. They've committed robbery. And because of that, it has caused the lives of the people of Israel, cause and effect. Well, let's rewind the tape to the story of Joshua. We know that Joshua was born in Egypt. He's a man of poor and humble beginnings, born in poverty, born in slavery. He watched his father and his family beaten as slaves. He watched his family scramble for food. His forefathers, the same story, 400 years. And then a deliverer comes and takes his family and his people out of Egypt. He watches the deliverer as he leads them through the Red Sea. He watches as the deliverer comes down from the mountaintop with the Ten Commandments, the table of stone, the words written by God's own finger. He experiences some victories with this deliverer. And then they're on the banks of Canaan. And he is asked, among 11 other people, to be a spy. And he goes through the land and spies out the land. And even though they had the same report, his report and Caleb's report was a little different. Yes, the land is filled with milk and honey. Yes, the grapes are huge. Yes, the cities are walled. Yes, there are giants in the land. Yes, the people are trained for war, and we're not. But Joshua believed in a God that was able to deliver his people. He had a faith that the other 10 spies didn't have. However, the 10 spies corrupted the minds of millions of people. 10 people. And those people, it was about 2 million people that left Egypt, including the women and the children and the old folk and the men of war, and some of the Egyptians even left with them. 2 million people corrupted by the minds of 10 people. And because of that, God sent them back into the wilderness to die in the wilderness, 40 years. And their children, 20 years and under, are now back at Canaan. Moses is dead. And God says to Joshua, and the people to stop mourning. God says to Joshua to go up and possess the land. He said, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I will give you. He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. So what's going on in Ai? If God promised that so shall I be with Moses, I will be with you. If God promised you victory, then why is the people of God experiencing defeat? We've already learned from Trayvon Martin and from the children of Israel that because of one man's decision can impact the lives of many. And so you may ask the question, well, where are we going with this? Well, we are going somewhere because now I have to come to the doors of new life. And I have to ask the question, is it me? We have to ask the question, is it me? This is not a hooping and hollering sermon. This is a sermon to make you think. God commissioned the 12 disciples in Matthew, the last chapters of Matthew, to go into all the world. Preach, teach, and baptize, and I will be with you. In other words, God promised them success. And when you look around New Life, I have to ask the question, where are the people that we were supposed to preach, teach, and baptize? Where is the success that God has promised us? Why are we experiencing defeat, New Life? Is it me? That's a rhetorical question for all of us to ask. So are we like Zimmerman, who God has spoken to and has given a specific task for New Life? And we've decided to hang up the phone and not obey the word of the Lord. Is it me? Or are we like Achan, who God has given specific gifts and talents? And we've decided not to use them for the Lord, but we've decided to bury them. Is it me? It's a question that we have to ask ourselves because God has given us the city. He said, I will be with you, just like I was with Moses. But we're having a problem. We struggle with taking the city because we've got some issues that only us as individuals can identify. I can't say, Sister So-and-so, it's this problem or that problem, but we know what we've either buried or we know what we've disobeyed. We've decided to disobey. We know what it is. And so I come to you today just to encourage you to be like Joshua. Joshua, who struggled as a child, he struggled as an adult. Poverty, you name it, he struggled with it. But there was something about the heart of Joshua that Moses saw. So much so that when Moses called Joshua, he changed his name because his name was Hosea. He changed it to Joshua. And so this sermon comes to me with a heavy heart. I struggled with it all week long. Because you know when you have a sermon, you want to give your 3 points and you want to celebrate at the end of the sermon and everybody goes home. However, we're supposed to be doing an evangelistic effort in October. And God is saying, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. But we will not be successful if we've got stuff going on in our lives that we don't turn over to the Lord. And if we don't know how to fix it, then give it over to the Lord. He'll take care of you. That's what we sang today. Jesus promised that he would take care of you. So I'm just encouraging each and every one of you as we prepare for our evangelistic effort in October. As we think about the Zimmerman trial, and you know, we have our views as to how we think it should go. Just think about the fact that even though Zimmerman, I don't think he's a bad person, but he made some bad choices. And his bad choices has impacted you, it's impacted me, it's impacted this whole nation. And so as we prepare for October, I'm asking you, church, to give your hearts over to the Lord so that the Lord can use us, because he has given us the city. But we can't rise and take it if we've got stuff going on in our tent. So let us stand. Let us all stand. Songwriter says, Jesus promised he'll take care of me. He said, I don't have to worry about the things ahead. He said, all I have to do is live right and believe in what he said. And I dare you to call him in the morning. You can call him in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter, because he'll make everything all right. Just call on the Lord today, because the Lord wants to give you the city. But he can't do it unless you take responsibility for you, unless I take responsibility for me. All right, let us pray. Father in heaven, God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this lesson. We thank you for the promises that you have given us. And Lord, give us the power and the anointing to go forth in your name. And whatever it is that you have told us to do, whatever it is you have told us to be, Lord, help us to do that under your anointing so that you can use us and so that we can take this city by storm and so that we will have the power that the name of this church claims it has, which is new life. God, give us the power to give us new life to this city. We thank you and we bless your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.